God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. When I first arrived here as your rector in January of 2014, I was so excited by the possibilities, and my heart was warmed by your welcome. And I still feel that way now, and I believe that I always will. You had faith, as did I, that the Holy Spirit brought us together, and that we together would be led into a new future as Christ Church in Bloomfield and Glen Ridge. And at the celebration of new ministry held that May, the bishop opened with a collect, as we do at the beginning of each service, a collect being a short prayer that is appropriate to the day of the church year or season, and one that collects or sums up the thoughts. And this was the collect. O God of unchangeable power and light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery, by the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know that the things that which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. It's a collect we read this past week at Credo, the clergy retreat I attended down in Fairhope, Alabama. And most of you probably recognize that it's also the collect we read at another time in the church year, Good Friday. And while it's not the one we said this morning, my mind kept going back to it in preparing for this sermon and for the week ahead, and I've learned a long time ago, don't argue with the Holy Spirit. She gets really upset when I do that. And I think part of it is because today we celebrate our annual Fall Founders Fest. Now, we don't do a homecoming Sunday anymore here because, well, y'all were here during the summer. I saw you. What are you coming back from? In fact, many churches, we were talking about this at Credo, a lot of churches are starting to say it doesn't make any sense to do a welcome back. See, that whole homecoming or welcome back Sunday was from a time when people would go to a summer place, perhaps worshiping at a summer chapel, and then would return to their regular church in the fall. How many of y'all did that? That's what I thought. Those days are long ago. And I can look out now and see that y'all were here, so except give her a few weeks for vacation. So instead, we began last year with a new type of celebration, our Fall Founders Fest, which is on the first Sunday of October because we were founded on October 4th, 1858. And so I heard the gospel lesson this morning as I listened to it, where the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. And he told them they only need to have the faith the size of a mustard seed. Y'all know mustard seeds? They're these little teeny tiny seeds. This big. You can't even hold one up. You can't even see it. Little tiny things. And I thought about that collect and these words that the whole world see and know that things that were being cast down are being raised up and things which had grown old are being made new. And this prayer speaks about renewal and about faith, too. Now, last year, about this time, Richard Land, where are you, Richard? Richard, are you paying attention? Dude, caught him. Isn't that terrible? Anyway, Richard Lamb over there, he's a longtime parishioner, and he sent to me a brief history of the founding of this church. And the thing about it that struck me was how these early parishioners, the ones who gathered in private homes on Sunday afternoons to worship, how they had the faith to plant a church, to build a faith community, to step forward and raise up a new building with great hopes for the future. And then, during the time when the Reverend Edwin Augustine White was rector, that's good old Father Edwin up there, if after church you want to wander, he stares down at the choir every Sunday. He's like a half, he's sort of Father Edwin on the half shelf up here. Anyway, during his time leading the parish on a snowy, windy night, January 15th, 1893, The little wooden church being used by these first parishioners down on Liberty Street burned down. Barbara Gannon, a parishioner at that time, said, "I don't know how it started, but when it was finally out, there was little left of Christ Church." They did not lose faith. They rebuilt. The story goes that members of the church have been coming from a wider area. The greater majority of Bloomfielders and Glen Ridgers, as they call themselves, I guess. And so they decided to buy property at the corner of Park and Bloomfield Avenues, and the second building of Christ Church began. And that new church building was dedicated in 1893. And it's where we sit today, with the line between the towns of Bloomfield and Glen Ridge running right through our high altar. And the church grew and prospered. In fact, you can see the cornerstones of both the first church that burned down and this church out in the parking lot, right over there. Let the whole world see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new. Christ's church was cast down and then raised up. The old ashes being made here in these stones. You know, the thing about the gospel today is how the disciples are asking for what they think is extraordinary. This incredible faith that would be without any doubt, without any question, a sort of supersized, cape-wearing, superhero kind of faith, perfectly, completely perfect, and without flaw. Only that's not really faith at all. Jesus tells them faith isn't about size, but about doing the ordinary acts of life. He tells them that with faith the size of a mustard seed, one can do amazing things. But he then underscores it with a metaphor about faith as the ordinary acts we do in our lives. What the heck could he have meant about that? While placing stone upon stone may be ordinary work, the vision to build after being cast down by fire is an act of extraordinary faith. Think about it in your personal lives. Think about people who are personally cast down, people who are suffering from depression, people who feel they can't even get out of bed. It takes a great deal of courage to put your 2 feet on the floor and take a step out the door. And for over 100 years, the church grew and flourished. But like many churches in the past few decades, Christ's church declined in numbers. Generations of parishioners have provided for the church to stay afloat in those lean years through endowments given to the church as part of their estate plans. And by 2014, when my path and this church intersected, brought together by the Holy Spirit, Christ Church was at a crossroads. And yet what I saw in the eyes of the search committee back then were people who had faith. Faith the size of a mustard seed, which is pretty big faith. Faith that could move mulberry trees, even if they may not have realized it themselves. And it seemed to me, too, that these walls were shouting with the voices of those long ago, reminding us of our resilient past and urging us ever forward in faith. And so we stepped boldly together into our new future. And just a few weeks in, we made a decision. A decision to this day that has been the symbol of mulberry tree moving. We ripped the pews out and completely transformed the floors of this church. The floors which have been growing old, very old, with holes and chips in the wood, with cracks in the tiles, was made new. And we transformed as well the choir room, steeped in days gone by, and made it new again. We took down the old dirty plexiglass that was covering the stained glass windows and let that light of Christ shine into this place. Christ Church was proclaiming to the world that we are a church alive. And like our predecessors, we were taking what had been cast down through the ages and making it new again. A sign of faith born out of ordinary acts of sanding floors, painting walls, and taking down plexiglass. And since that time, these floors and these stained glass windows have been borne witness to 9 baptisms, and today we will welcome into the household of God 4 more: Jennifer, Alexa, Kaylin, and Grayson, grand and great-grandchildren to Dorothy and David Johnson. Our congregation has grown by over 30% since 2014, and the feeling of new life seems to be everywhere in our worship, in our formation, and in our ministry far beyond these walls. But we're not done yet. We weren't done yet. A group of us gathered around that same time in February 2014, people from both the church and the nursery school, to talk about the space challenges each faced. The church needed space for adult formation and the offices to be accessible to people. And the school had waiting lists in each class and needed to expand. And with faith in what might be, we hadn't even seen the growth yet. But with faith of what might be, we looked at the opportunities we had, seeing in spaces used only on Sunday new possibilities, imagining from neglected corners a new purpose. A new vision was developed, and our leadership had the faith to take that vision and make it happen. Faith larger than a mustard seed, because more than mulberry bushes were moved to complete it. And this week, on October 4th, exactly 158 years from the founding of this church, the mayor of Bloomfield will cut the ribbons to the newly renovated spaces, and our bishop will bless them. With faith the size of a mustard seed, things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new. We have a vision of a future ahead. A vision shaped not by our own desires, but by listening hearts, open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. And from this place we will, with God's help and guidance, plant mustard seeds everywhere. See, the thing about seeds is, they're a lot like churches. They're planted with hope. I know when I garden, I certainly plant them with hope. Hope of roots taking hold. Hope of breaking the ground and growing year after year. Hope that what was planted will be something that will last and may provide seed for others to grow to. That's what a church community is. A place where seeds are nurtured to grow, rooted in Christ, growing in faith. It's something we do together in community and with God's help. It's a partnership with God and one another. I'm reminded of a story about a young farmer and his little farm. You figure I'm going to tell a story about a farm. I live out in rural Sussex County, so bear with me. Now, Albert was this farmer, and he took over an old, run-down, abandoned little farm. The land was overgrown with weeds, sounds like my gardens. The barn was falling down, and the shed was just a frame with broken glass. And during his first day of work, the local priest, his parish priest, stopped by to bless Albert's work, saying, "May you and God work together to make this the farm of your dreams." A few months later, the priest stopped by again. Lo and behold, it was completely transformed. The barn had been expertly rebuilt, crops were growing in neat rows all over, and the shed had been made into a greenhouse with reglazed windows and was full of plump, ripe tomatoes. "Amazing," exclaimed the priest. "Look what God and you have accomplished together." "Yes, Father," said Albert, "but remember what the place was like when God was working it alone." This faith thing isn't something we need to measure, but it's something we do together and in partnership with God. It's relational. We need God, and God needs us. And the outcome of this relationship isn't always something that we get to fully enjoy in our lives. But if we step forward in faith, we can, with God's help, be part of creating new life. Life that we may not get to fully bear witness to, just as the people who founded this church aren't here today. But life that will continue the cycle long after we are gone from this earth. The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr once said, "Nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime, therefore we are saved by hope. Nothing true or beautiful makes complete sense in the immediate context of history, therefore we are saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone, therefore we are saved by love." The people who founded this church planted something that would not be completed in their lifetime. Something that's not even completed now. This church is not completed because this church is not the walls, but all of you. And we change from year to year. And new people change us as a community, and the loss of people over time changes as well. But as Niebuhr suggests, because of this, we are saved by hope in the possibility, by faith in the uncertainty, and by love in our relationship with God. Each of us are a people of faith. And Jesus is telling us that faith, no matter how big or how small, can do wondrous things. It can take that which is cast down and make it new. Even when it is we who are the ones who are in need of new life. Because faith is not a journey we're on alone, but with God and with each other. And with God, the most ordinary things, the smallest of daily living becomes miraculous. You see, all through all those years of this church, our ups and downs, if we've learned anything at all, it's that sometimes, most times really, faith isn't about shouting from the rooftops, but about the small whispers of our deepest heart. It's about taking it one day at a time and putting one foot in front of the other and walking toward a future we don't see, but trust God is fashioning. Faith is heading out the door each day, looking for opportunities to be God's partner and co-worker in the world. Faith is imagining that the various challenges put in front of us, whether solving a problem at work, forgiving someone who wronged us, or renovating the church to create new spaces, are actually opportunities that invite us to grow as disciples and witness to God's presence and goodness in the world. So let the whole world see and know that things which are being cast down are being raised up. And things which had grown old are being made new. Because we, the people of Christ's church, are boldly stepping forward in faith, faith no bigger than mustard seeds. And with God's help, we will continue to do the ordinary and the extraordinary to move the mulberry bushes of injustice, of oppression, of hate out into the seas and planting in their place seeds of hope, peace, and love that will grow for generations to come. We may not live long enough to see the full fruits of our labor, but generations from now will grow nourished by the ordinary work we do today. Amen.